Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
I'd like you to please rise and exercise your spirit, because we need to take instructions from the Lord right now. I want you to talk to God and say, Father, speak unto me. Father, give me light that I may run. Write the vision in my heart that I may run. This decade will be a decade of greater experience of you. All doors you intend to open to me, no man can shut it. All the two leaf gates that you want to leave open before my eyes, I will walk through them in the name of Jesus Christ. My life will bring you glory in the course of this year. My life will establish your counsel in the course of the days ahead. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, I would like you to note that God began to speak to us from Psalm 87. There were several issues that God was raising in Psalm 87 that I want you to highlight very quickly. I want to highlight them because I perceive it's a word from the Lord for us, and we must mark it. I will first highlight what were those instructions that God brought, so that as I move on to the prophetic word that God has brought for us this year, you may take note of the basis in which we are entering into it. I sense that God is declaring to us the glory that lies ahead. The glory that lies ahead of us. But you know, when we use the glory that lies ahead of us, I want you to know that God is speaking first about you, and He's speaking about us corporately. And I quickly want to highlight this glory that lies ahead of us. God is speaking and making declarations about glorious things that He wants to do in our lives. And I want you to mark them one by one. The first is that the glory that we're about to enter is because of the foundation that God has laid for it. There's a foundation that God has laid for the future that we're expecting. That foundation is what makes it impossible for the gates of hell to prevail against us. It doesn't matter all the forces of darkness that are gathered together against you and against the church, against the body of Christ, and against us, His people. I want to tell you, those forces that gather against us, they will scatter. And that is what was confirmed when someone came forward with Isaiah 54. In Isaiah 54, God said, my covenant with you I will not forsake. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall do what? Shall prosper. Because of the foundation that God has laid for us. Are you hearing me? The glory that God is preparing you for. The manifestation of his power. Nothing can withstand it. I want you to bear that in mind as you break forth into this decade. But that foundation is laid for us in Christ Jesus. That foundation is laid upon the rock of ages. That foundation is laid upon the work he did in holiness. And because we have been foundated in his holy mountain, we can have every reason to expect the glory that God is talking about. Please tell somebody there's a glory ahead of you. And a foundation for it has been laid. Everything that will make it possible for you to break forth into what God is saying, the foundation of it is already laid. And so we can boldly declare that you will move from glory to glory. You will move into glory, and you move from that glory to another glory in the name of Jesus Christ. What is the second thing that God has highlighted for us in that Psalm 87 that I don't want you to let go as we are moving from here this year? It is that God has set his love upon us. God has set his love upon you. God has turned his eyes of favor upon us. When the Bible declared that God loves the gates of Zion much more than all the dwellings of Jacob, what I hear the Lord saying is that the love of God has been focused on you. And it is because of that love, God is making you an object of his love. And you will feel that, you will sense that in the course of this year. You will see God paying very meticulous attention to your lives. It's because God has turned his favor upon you. And that's why the promise he made about greater things, about greater glory, will come to pass. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord will be attracted to your life. So when we read Isaiah 60 and it says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The love of God had been focused, had been directed, had distinguish you out for what God is about to do. I sense that God is declaring that I have loved you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And for this reason, I will show you my glory in the land of the living. What is number three thing that God is declaring from that psalm that I want you to mark? He said, glorious things are spoken of you. And I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia. When you read that kind of Bible passage, you keep wondering, what does that mean? What does that mean? God is announcing glorious things that he wants to do and want to carry out by our lives. And God is announcing it not just locally. God is speaking about it in different lands and nations. And so when somebody came and read Isaiah chapter 2, and our brother was saying that several nations, they are already discussing, let us go to Benue State, let us go to Boko, let us go to that place. We learn that the Lord is there. There's already a quiet announcement about this land. If you don't have an eye to see the invisible, you might not know that God has turned his attention upon this land. God has turned his attention upon the state, upon the work that God has called us to do, and God is making an announcement about several of his servants, of his children, about what he wants to do with their lives. Glorious things God is declaring about you. And this declaration concerning us is indeed glorious and sometimes mind-boggling. That if you compare where we presently stood, you will think that that kind of thing cannot be. You'll be imagining that, how can that thing happen? Are they not just daydreaming? But I want to remind you that God spoke to us many years ago when there was nothing. When there was no sign. When this place looked unlikely. When it appears as if nothing good can come out of this Nazareth. But God gave a word of prophecy. God said, from this land shall flow men from the north, the east, the south, for a fire will break out from here that will affect all nations. It will be a global move of God. Several people saw it or heard about it, but they don't know how it was going to be. Some, because of lack of understanding, they ran thinking that they have got it. But God has set a time for it. And the time that God has set for what he says he will do has come upon us. The glorious thing that God wants to declare that he says he will cause to happen and to break forth from this land, from Benue, and it will go far to the north, it will go to the east, it will to the west, it will go to the south. It will bypass Nigeria and go to other nations of the earth. He said the time for that thing has now come. And I want to say to you that because God in his mercy has cast his love upon you, you are going to be part of it. You are going to walk into it. You are going to experience it. God is doing it in a manner that no one can take the glory, because it is his work. You will live to see it in the name of Jesus Christ. It has begun. But what we have seen thus far is a very little installment of what the Spirit of God is saying he wants to do. And as we go on in the course of this year and years, I want you to note that what God has started with us cannot be reversed. Oh my God, are we together? What God has begun to do here, I said, cannot be what? It can't be reversed. It can only increase. It can only enlarge. It can only become bigger and greater to the glory of his name. Praise the Lord. What is the number four thing that the Holy Spirit has highlighted? I know that as you are following the scripture and as our brother was speaking, you might not be able to highlight the matter. He said, and of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High itself shall establish her. While we are going to pray for those who today, the first day of this decade, must make their life right with God, so that you also can be part of that testimony when they will say, this one, this one, this one, this one was born again in that move. So that it will be on record when God will be announcing the register. They will say, this one, this one, even this one, even that one was affected because of what God began to do. And I'm going to be sure that we pray for you. Some of you, God has allowed you to come into this first day of this decade because he wants to put your name in the register. Are you hearing me? God wants to number you among those he's setting apart for a glorious manifestation. Please take note. When the disciples went and they were casting out devils and they returned, they say, Master, oh, it's wonderful. Demons are even subject to us in your name. Demons were running when we spoke in your name. You know what Jesus told them? He said, that is a little thing. Rejoice not in that, but rather rejoice that what? Your name has been written. Do you know that God is drawing a register? God is drawing a register. God is registering people for what he's about to do in the coming days. And I was excited when my brother was reading that scripture, and the Holy Spirit said, look, I am drawing a register. I am numbering people. I am registering people for what is about to happen in the coming days. And it's so exciting that God is saying, I am putting people's name such that when people will see you break forth in the coming days, they will say, where are you coming from? When did this happen to you? When did you get this kind of grace, this kind of anointing, this kind of spirit? Where did you get it? And the answer will be, oh, even he himself, in that place, he was affected. In that place, he was registered. God is registering men for the coming days. God is drawing a register. You will be part of it in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to mark that. God is not allowing you to pass through here for nothing. You are not in this night vigil this morning just for a mere attendance. The Holy Spirit is setting you apart and is putting, you know, his mark on you, is putting your name on the register of men and women that will become vessels and instruments for the things that lies ahead of us. Hallelujah. And what we are talking about has several dimensions. Several dimensions. Don't only think that you will only stand on the pulpit. You will stand on different platforms. Different platforms. You will stand on economic platforms. And people will say, where is this one coming from? Sir? He also was born there. He also was affected there. He also was registered among the men that God wants to use. Hallelujah. It's, you know, God is placing, is opening a register and he's saying, this one also, this one also, this one, this one, this one, this one also. And I'm waiting to see how when things will break forth in different parts of the nation and in different nations. And people will be wondering, where did you contract this? Where did you get this? Where were you mobilized for this? And you will trace it to this place, to this experience, to this encounter that God is giving you in the name of Jesus Christ. And perhaps you have struggled with the Lord for years. Perhaps God had pursued you over and over again, and you have never yielded your life and said, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, do it. It is now that you must do so. You cannot face this decade undecided. You can't go forward in this decade lukewarm. You cannot stand on the edge and not decide whether to fall in or to fall out. It will not be to your advantage not to be counted. It will not be to your advantage to be standing outside on the periphery. Glorious days is ahead. We will see unprecedented move of God in the coming days. And God is drawing the register. When God will begin to place men, I say, on different platforms, political platforms. And they will be saying, but where was this man? Where was he? Where has he ever been? And the answer will be, this one also was born there. This one also was raised in that move. When God will begin to place, and I want you to mark it, just mark it. Several people will flow from here. And look at how the scripture ended in the last verse, I think verse 7. How did that scripture end? It says, singers and dancers, they will give credit to Zion, and they will say, all my springs have come from here. Just note it. When those testimonies begin to roll in, you will remember that I have told you. When people will come back with testimonies and said, sir, that thing started with me in the course of that meeting. That's when things begin to spring forth in my life. It shall be so. You know, there are brothers from Malawi here, from South Africa, that are sitting down quietly. There are people from Francophone nations, and you are wondering, why is God bringing you into this kind of meeting? Must you be in this crossover night? Shouldn't you have been somewhere else? Shouldn't you have gone to your nation? It's because there is a register. Please mark it. Are you marking what I'm dealing with tonight? God is opening a register, and he's putting names of men and women that he's setting apart for this glorious outburst that he's talking about. And as I move from that passage, I will now get to you to read the passages that I read, because in them I hear God speaking very clearly, very directly. Once I finish that, we will pray. We will engage in prayer this morning. Before I release you, before we pray for our state, before we pray for the governor and all the people that are in leadership, and before we prophesy over what God must do for Nigeria. It doesn't matter all those people that are planning their evil and thinking that they will put Nigeria in their pocket. It shall not be so. But I want you to take note of few things that the Holy Spirit is pointing out. But that there are going to be singers and dancers who will say, it is from that Zion that all my springs have come from. There are people that will be saying, when I have listened to what God said in that meeting, something sprang forth in my heart. Something sprang forth in my life. And that's what is breaking forth all over the nations. It shall be so in the name of Jesus Christ. So now, will you now turn Isaiah 45 and Revelation chapter 3. They are critical for us in understanding what God is launching us into in the course of this year and years. You notice that I'm using this year and years. Eh? It's because this year will only be the beginning of years. What we shall begin to enter into this year will not end with this year. Praise the Lord. What God will begin to open to us from this year is not going to be concluded in the year. It can only increase, but the beginning of it is now. The release of it is now. When God began to speak some few weeks ago and said, I have a greater task for you. What I have told you before has come past. What I have prophesied to you before has happened. But I am speaking of a new thing, a greater thing, and before it springs forth, I am declaring it to you. And as the Spirit of God continues to bring his word, and this morning, as we broke into the new year, Isaiah 45, I want you now to go over it. We cannot take it verse by verse. There are a few verses there that we will just highlight so that you can do that on your own later on. But I know it will confirm in your spirit several things that God has said. Isaiah 45, there are 25 verses there. But we are not going to deal with all those verses. I'll just note a few things to you. Hallelujah. The first thing I want you to know is that the Bible said, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Can God be particular about individuals? Eh? Can God mention somebody by his name? That's the first thing I want to say to you tonight. If you look at that prophecy itself, by the time Isaiah was speaking about this Cyrus, Cyrus was not yet born. Are you hearing me? By the time the Spirit of God was speaking about Cyrus, Cyrus was not yet born. It was only in the days of Daniel, several hundreds of years after, that we saw a man called what? Cyrus. So the first thing I want to note with you, some of you sitting here, the Holy Spirit will be confirming in your heart. You will see the Holy Spirit as if he's mentioning your name. Don't think that that is bogus. Don't think it is incredible. And don't put it behind. Don't say, how can God be speaking about me? Please, take note. There's a register. And God is deliberately speaking about what he wants to do. He said, to his anointed, to Cyrus. But look at what God is saying about this Cyrus, because I want you to understand how the things God is saying is going to come to pass. Who was Cyrus? He was a nobody. Who was Cyrus? Nobody knew him. I actually said, as at this time, he was not yet born. Even Isaiah was only speaking in the spirit of prophecy. He never saw the Cyrus. And do you know, in the prophetic manifestation of the wisdom of God, he spoke about some of us ever before we were born. Hallelujah. If you see me standing in Tivland here, you'll be wondering, what is this man here for? When I had never known that it's a Tivland or not, the Holy Ghost was speaking to me meticulously about what he wanted to do. And it doesn't matter whether you are popular or not popular. When it is time for God to do what he says concerning you, it shall come to pass. So my first request to you tonight, never you devalue yourself. Never you say, it cannot be me. And never you think that we are talking about what you can personally do now. No, 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 no. We are speaking about a future that God is going to lead you into in the coming days. That's why Psalm 87 is very important to me this morning when he said God is checking his register. And he said, this one, and this one also was born there, was born in her, was born here, was born again there. But what was going to be peculiar about this man? He said, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings. I have held his hand. My brothers, the hand of God will come upon you. God will hold your hand and use your life to subdue nations. There are people that are mighty and they are like men of timber and caliber, and it's appearing as if a tiny man like Cyrus, what can he do? But only when you see him as a mere man, when you did not see a hand that is behind him. The hand of God will propel you. Do not trust in anything else but the hand of God that shall do what? Propel you. When I was praying about what is it that God is going to say and what is God going to do in the coming year, and the Lord was saying, I will put my hand on you. And I know what that meant. When God places his hand on a man, that man is no longer ordinary. And you can't resist a man on whose life the hand of God had rested. Did you hear me? When God's hand is on a man, please don't fight him. You can't stop him. When the hand of God has come on you, you have become unstoppable. The reason is because the hand that is propelling you is a hand that nobody can stop. So, what is the hope of this promise coming to pass? My hand shall be upon you. I have held him by my right hand. And I'll use him to subdue nations before him, to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors. The old King James called it a two-leaved gate. How many of you have seen what we call two leaf gates? Eh? It's not a door that you just lock on one side as you are coming in. So when architects design gates that are two-leaved, what it means is that they are looking for a wide door. Because when they want to move in very heavy furnitures, when they want to move in things that are oversized, you can't be going through a narrow door. Are you understanding what I'm saying? How many of you you find that your house has a narrow door, but now you have a very big furniture you want to carry in? How did you manage? Did you see how difficult it is? You move it like this, you move it like this, the thing cannot enter. And somebody said, no, let's remove this door. So that when we move in first, we can replace the door. Someone said, but when we want to move it out, how do we move out? He said, we remove the door again. So correct architects who are thinking that you are not going to be narrow for life, what do? They make two leaf gates that when you are coming, it just fling open. God is going to set a door before us. And it's going to be a two-leaf gate. It's a wide door. I'm sensing it. We can't be explaining what that will mean until we begin to enter into it. But just mark it. Put it somewhere in your spirit. Write it in your note. You will live to see it. And when it begins to happen, the Holy Ghost will remind you that, but this is what I told you. But I just pray that you will not just be an onlooker and say, but they said it though. You'll be at the forefront of it in the name of Jesus Christ. Because I think your name is in this register. Praise the Lord. Now listen to what God is saying. I will go before you. Said to open before him the doors so that the gates will not be shut. Doors will not be shut against us anymore. Gates are going to be opened. And these gates, as we'll be describing them, it's going to lead us to carry out the divine purposes that God has set for us. I'll go before you. I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze. And I'll cut the bars of iron. Who will do it? Who will do it? That's God speaking. Do you dare to believe him? Eh? I'm asking a question. Brother, do you dare to believe God? Do you dare to take God by his word? All right. I want you to do it. I want you to believe God. Because the things that God speaks to us, according to Luke chapter 1, he said, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of the things that the Lord has spoken to her. There's going to be a performance. The performance that we have seen in years past will be nothing compared with the performance that God is going to perform in the coming days. Do you dare to believe God? Can I take the message back to heaven and say, these brothers and sisters have decided to believe you? Do you think I should do that? And say, Lord, they have chosen that they will take you by your word and they will believe you. So that God can set at the business that he has come to do in our midst. Praise the Lord. There are things that I'm reading from this passage that maybe you read it and you generalized it and you thought it will not, it doesn't concern you. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Is there any businessman here this morning? You're a businessman. Now I want you to mark that. What makes a businessman to have an edge over and above his colleagues, his competitor, is that man that can see what is still invisible to his colleague. That man that God can reveal to the secret that is still dark to people. Others have passed. They saw nothing. And then the Holy Spirit saying, look at this. There's something here. There's a treasure here. And I want you to dig it out. I want you to commit, get into it. It will become your breakthrough. I'll give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. And it's only that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, I am the God of Israel. Amen. Amen. Is someone believing God for what he's saying to us tonight? May the Lord help you in the name of Jesus Christ. When I go a little down, verse 5, and I just want you to read a little of it. I'm the Lord, there's no other, there's no God beside me, but where I'm going is, I will guard you. The word guard, there is G-I-R-D. I will, you know, as if I'll put a belt around you. I will make sure that you are in shape. That they may know from the rising of the sun to his setting that there is none beside me. God will be doing something that will only prove to men everywhere that this is nothing but the hand of God. Do you think we can believe God for that? Eh? Do you want to agree with me and say, Lord, what will we do with my life? What will we do in our midst? There will be no other way to explain it except for people to conclude that this is the hand of God. Father, please let it be so. Be it unto me according to thy word. Can I hear you say that to God personally? Say, Lord, let it be unto me as you are saying it. I don't need to know how you will do it, but let it be to me according to thy word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, would you like to go with me quickly to verse 11? Isaiah 45:11. I want you to move quickly to verse 11. There's a word there that I want you to mark. Thus says the Lord, the only one of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You do what? Command me. I know some people don't understand this. Either because they don't understand it, they arrogantly say, God said we should command him. And others who don't understand the gravity of what God says, say, no. How can you command God? But I want you to know that God is the one who is giving you a space, a liberty. It is him. Who am I to command God? But God said, concerning the work of my hands, tell me what you want me to do. I will do it. Oh my God. Did you hear me? concerning the work of my hand, concerning my sons, and concerning things to come, ask me. When he used the word command me, God is simply saying, tell me what you want me to do about it. Ask me things that you want done, and I will effect it. We are going to do so much in the coming days in the place of prayer. Praise the Lord. It is God that is offering us that privilege. It is God that is offering us that opportunity. It is not that we are the one forcing ourselves on God and say, God, I want to command you. No. He didn't say it like that. But he says, concerning the work of my hands, tell me what you want me to do. I will do it. Set the agenda of what you want me to do. I will carry it out. Now, when you take that scripture and you put it in the New Testament scriptures, did you hear that Jesus said, whatsoever you bind here on earth, what will happen? Shall be bound in heaven. Tell us what you want us to prohibit in heaven. It shall be so done. Tell me what you want concerning the work of my hands. I will do it. I see God bringing us a space of divine opportunity to do great work for him in the place of prayer. I see God say, I'm giving you a blank check. Tell me what you want us to do concerning this matter, and I will do it. Don't just murmur. Don't just cry around. Don't just complain. Oh, these people, they are making life difficult for people. That is nothing. That's no prayer. God is still waiting. He said, tell me what you want me to do about this situation. And I will do what? I will do it. As we unfold into the year, great things will happen, but in answer to our requests. Things you cannot ever think could take place will take place in the course of this year, but in answer to prayer. Shall we agree to pray? Eh? And I'm not asking you to be talking about nothing. And Lord, my head is paining me. All of those things. It's okay. I know. Because you do understand what is the matter. God is giving you an opportunity. One time that God gave Solomon an opportunity. Say, for what do you want me? What do you want me to do for you? Do you remember? Eh? That man asked for something that was, in fact, when he finished asking, God said, you have not asked the common prayer that people are always asking. And you know that God already had a list of frequent prayer requests that people are always asking. Can you remember what are those frequent prayer requests? Tell me one of them. What? Give me something to eat, Abby. Give me long life. Kill my enemies. Do you remember? Call fire on my enemies. And then what is the other one? God himself listed it for Solomon and said, these are the normal things people ask. I thought that that's what you are also going to join them to ask. But that you have asked something else. When God was giving Elisha opportunity to ask, and Elijah said, now God is taking me away from you. Ask anything you want me to do. Do you remember such times? Eh? What they asked was what determined their destiny. God is saying, concerning the work of my hand, do what? Ask me. Tell me what you want me to do in this situation. I will do it. As far as I can see, one of the greatest things that God is offering us in this year is the opportunity to do what? To ask him for things. Your Excellency, God is saying, concerning the work of my hand, do what? Ask, ask. Tell me what you want me to do. You are going to tell God what you want God to do in Benue. Don't complain again. Don't say, hey, these are this. No, no, no. God say, concerning the work of my hand and concerning my sons, tell me what you want me to do. I will do it. Mark what God is saying this year. Tell me what. Don't worry about where will it come from. Don't bother about how I will organize and draw it. Ask me what you want me to do. When everybody has brought all their analysis and everything, don't just sit down on analysis of problems. Ask me what you want me to do. And I want several of you that are in this meeting this year, we are going to join hands together before God. We are going to make demands. What do we want God to do in this land? Do you think we can ask God what we want him to do in this land? Eh? Ask me, he said, concerning the work of my hand. Tell me what to do. In fact, when he say, command me, what it means that issue to us your instruction. What is it that you are asking us to do? We will do it for you. As this year opens, God is saying, ask me what you want me to do for this land. That, I don't want you to miss that. Praise the Lord. And for you to know that there's nothing you ask God that will be difficult. From that verse 12, God was simply explaining, I made the earth. I created man in it. I, my hands, stretch out the heavens and all their hosts I have commanded. So there's nothing you ask me that I will be stretching my neck before I can get it done. We will see the glory of the Lord in this land in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to move out of Isaiah 45. You can read the rest on your own. There will be several issues that God will be confirming to you. But I want you to go quickly with me now to the Revelations 3. When we get to Revelation 3, there are again few verses there that I will highlight, and I believe that as we do that, we'll be in position now to make requests. We won't close this meeting until we make deliberate, critical requests of God. We're going to particularly ask him what we want him to do. In Revelation 3, verse 7, that we began to read, this thing says he who is holy, he who is true. So So let's note that God who is talking to me and you is not a fake. It's not a fake. Praise the Lord. It's not a cajole. It is true. Is God true? Eh? Talk to me if you are sure. Is God true? Is God reliable? Can we take God by his word? This thing says he who is holy and who is true. It is he who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts. And when he shuts, no one opens. I know your works. I know your labors. I know you have been trying. I know your efforts. I know. But now see, I have set before you an open door. When this scripture began to come again, I was wondering, I said, but Lord, I'm familiar with that. I said, no. What I'm saying now is not what you are familiar with. I have set before you an open door. And no one can shut it. And all I've just said to God, I say, yes, Lord, I believe. I thought that we already have an open door. But I'm hearing God say, what you have seen before, it's okay. There are doors. But I'm setting before you now. What? An open door. Even though as I'm talking to you now, I may not be able to explain to you what is the full dimension of what God is setting before us. But he has called it an open door, which no man can shut. Praise the Lord. Even though you have a little strength, you have kept my word. And you have not denied my name. You have kept my word. You have maintained my instructions. You have not denied my name. You have not chickened out. Now I'm setting before you an open door, which no man can shut. Is anybody in this meeting and the Lord is re-echoing that in your heart? Is God speaking to someone? Or is it me alone that God is saying, I'm setting a door before you, an open door? Is there someone again that God is speaking to your spirit and is reverberating within you that this is God speaking to me? Eh? What do I counsel you to do tonight? Believe him. When it is time to pray, I'll be asking you to stand on these scriptures. I'll be asking you to present it back to God. I'll be asking you to hold it out to him and say, God, that which you have said to me in the early hours of the first day of 2020, I am holding it to you and believing you for it. Indeed. And I want you to mark verse 9. Oh, all those who claim to be what they are not, who are lying and trying to make life difficult for you, indeed, I will make them come and do what? And worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. You know, when we are reading Psalm 87, I spoke to you about God saying, I love the gates of Zion more than anywhere else. And I saw Jesus say, abide in my love as I abide in the love of my Father. And I was asking God, I thought you love everybody. Yes, God loved the whole world. But in this particular verse, he said, I will cause men to know that what? I have loved you. I don't know what that translates to. When God begins to testify to people in their hearts, say, I love Brother Gbile. I love this man. I love him. I have set my love on him. I have decided to flow my love into him. I love him. I love him. I don't know what that will translate to in practical terms, but I sense it will be something else. I sense that men will begin to know, certainly they begin to see the favor of God on your head. They will suddenly wonder and say, why is everything moving for this man? And the only answer is, I love him. I have approved him. I am for him. I have decided to love him. I'm telling you frankly that I will not be able to give you complete details of what that will translate into as I'm talking now. But I could sense that men will start saying, we know. You know, something happened to Isaac. When he was with the people as he was digging wells, and everywhere he dug, what were they doing? They were blocking it. They were closing it. And when he digs another one, they will close it. When he had dug another one, they close it. And the more they were closing, the more he was moved to dig another well. It's taking when he dug a well and they did not come to close that one. And he said, this is Rehoboth. But something that touched me was, after a little while, the people that were closing his wells, that were fighting against him, that were opposing him, they came to him. They said, we know the Lord is with you and you are mightier than us. Please, we want to be your friend because we have known now that God is with you. Can you imagine what that will mean? For you, sir. Can you imagine when those who carry dagger against you, they will suddenly wake up in the middle of the night, whether God will go and tell them, I don't know, whether God will go and confront them and say, that man you are carrying dagger against is my man. And if you want your life to progress, go and submit to him. If you want to become anything tangible in life, that's the man I have approved. Do you remember that the friends of Job that didn't understand, they were standing against him? Do you remember? One day God appeared to them and said, before your life can be blessed, do what? Go and meet Job and let him pray for you because he is my man. I will cause men to know that I have loved you. I don't know the meaning of that. I don't know the practical implication of that in his fullness. But quietly in my heart, I'm expecting an explosion. I'm expecting an explosion of people who stood afar off before, who will be coming in their droves. And they will be saying, the Lord announced to us at Ephrata. He has announced to us in the mountain of Philistia. He has spoken to us on the other side of Babylon that he has loved you. We cannot do otherwise. You just have to come here. When they begin to arrive, I will also announce it to you. But they are coming. If you read Isaiah 60 that we read, I'm not going to refer to that anymore, because at the end of the meeting in December, that was a final charge. Do you remember that? And today again, the Lord had brought it to, I made you to read it from verse 1 to 22. It's because every issue God is raising in that psalm, in that Isaiah, they are instructions, there are directions, there are things that will come to pass. They will come to pass. Did I hear you? What did I say? They are coming to pass. And they will be coming to pass steadily. Arise and shine. He said, I will cause them to come, and they will get to know that I have loved you. I said to you, my dear brothers and sisters, as we stop here, that I don't know in this present moment as I stand, what will be the fullness of the implication of that when God begins to draw people, having told them in their heart, in their locations, in their installations, in their denominations, in their own things, and say, go, go, go from where you are. Go and submit. Because I have loved him. That's my man for you. I have ordained him. I have loved him. Praise the Lord. And they will know that I have loved you. And I ask, so what are the instructions? What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do from here? I have already noted the first thing he said, concerning the work of my hand. Do what? Ask me what you want me to do. So there's going to be deliberate, intentional request for what we want God to do in our time. It is in connection with that that we are all going to agree together. What do we want God to do for Benue State? And if you are careful enough to say, Lord, not only Benue, what of Plateau? What of Nasarawa? What of the entire Middle Belt? If it dawns on you and say, excuse me, don't just only ask for Benue, ask for Taraba. Why not? Why not? And I'm looking for someone who will deliberately say, Lord, for the sake of the work concerning your sons, concerning your purpose, I am making this request. And we will see God answer them. That's the first thing. What is the second instruction that is coming to us? He said, even though you have little strength, but you have kept my word. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We will keep God's word. You'll be faithful to the word of God. You will be addicted to obey the word of God. Don't cut corners when it comes to taking God's word at his word. Are we together with me? Eh? Do not short measure the word of God. Do not think there's a shortcut to be popular by cutting corners from the word of God. That's not the way for this move of God. Do not be part of those who lower, who reduces the demand of the word of God just to suit their self-pleasure. Don't join that. Where God is going with us is great. Hallelujah. But God is saying, you have kept my word. You have kept, you have been faithful to my word. Don't cut short the word of God. What you think we gather men, if you reduce the word of God, is only but a fake. There's a reality that will come our way very soon. But God is saying, you have kept my word. Will you please keep God's word? As a person, will you please keep the word of God? I'm hearing you. Will you? Will you? As a sister, will you keep the word of God? You may be involved in a very small scale business. Will you please? Because God is going to visit you. A door will open for that business. But God is wanting to check, does she keep my word? Or does she cut short my word because she's looking for a quick result? Can me and you agree together that, Father, in this year, because of what you are saying, we shall keep your word? I'm not hearing you. Do you want me and you to agree on that and say, God, we will keep the word of God and see what God does to men who are obedient and who are faithful to his word? What's the first thing I said we shall do? We shall ask. We shall make deliberate, intentional request of God on what we want him to do in our land, in our midst, for his glory. Number two, what are we going to do? We will keep the word of God. We will not short measure the word of God. We will addict ourselves to obey God's word. We will be committed to the truth without diluting it. Each one of you, wherever you flow to, let it be your trademark. Say, these are people that don't compromise the word of God. Whether you are in an office or you are in the farm, anywhere you may be, keep the word of God. Be consistent with the word of God. God will bless you. God will turn his attention on you because he has kept my word. Praise the Lord. Now, what again will God want me and you to do? You find it in verse 11 very quickly. Hold fast what you have. Are you hearing me? Hold how? Hold fast what you have. Do not exchange. Do not exchange your birthright for a piece of bread. There will be temptation for you to sell out. There will be temptations for you to compromise. You will come under the pressure to sell out. Hold fast that which you have. Hold how fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. If you are disciples, are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Eh? Do not exchange that which God has taught you, has placed in your life. It is that same thing that will place a crown on your head. If you exchange it, you are already giving out your crown. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you tell somebody by your side and say, the number three thing you must do, hold fast what you have. Don't exchange it. Don't sell out. Don't compromise it. Let no man take your crown. Brothers, there's a crown on your head. There's a crown. It's a crown of glory that God is bringing. Look, I know some of you in your mind say, it's when we get to heaven that we shall wear the crown. Thank you for that. Thank you for thinking of when we get to heaven. But when we are here on earth, here, there's a crown that God is going to begin to cause some of us to wear. There's a greater crown coming, but there's a crown. God will begin to crown your efforts. God will begin to crown your obedience. God will begin to crown, you know, your simplicity of life with unprecedented results. But if you don't hold fast, you will lose it. As we rise from this meeting this morning, I charge you, hold fast. Don't join the class of compromisers. Don't be under pressure to short measure or to lose what God has put in your hand. Let no one take your crown. Amen. You know, there was a promise in verse 12 that sometime you may not know the implication of it. He who overcomes. He who overcomes. And I was wondering, what is he to overcome? He who overcomes the pressure. And there's going to be pressure. Pressure to compromise the truth. Pressure to short measure the word. And pressure to exchange. I said, let me just quickly, let me sell this and I'll just have something. No. He who overcomes, I will make him what? A pillar. Please, can you look at the pillars that is holding this gallery? Did you see those pillars? Eh? They are made immovable. They are made to stand there. And I'm hearing God saying, I will make you a pillar in my house. Again, I do not want to go beyond here because the complete implication of God establishing you in his purpose is beyond what I could explain this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will stop on that and trust that the Holy Spirit will give you further understanding and clearer insight. But I know some people have appeared on the stage and after a little while, they have disappeared. I know some people have got some anointing, some years, and after a little while, it made no impact again. It has finished. I know some people are blazed into some public arena, and just when you thought that they were going to become a pillar that can continue to be of influence, they have been influenced and pushed away. And I know there are preachers that I thought that they will preach for long until the purpose of God is established by their hands. But in a short while, they have been silenced. But it shall not be so with you. I will make you a pillar. I will make you formidable, a force that men will reckon with in the name of Jesus. We're entering this decade by setting some specific request. God said, ask me. That's what we want to do. And my dear brother and dear sister, I want you to stand on your feet, particularly first for yourself. When we're about to cross into the new year, God said something to me that I want to share with you. I prayed for you. I deliberately made a request on your behalf, which I know God was going to respond to. You see, the children of Israel, when they were taken out of Egypt, where was God planning to take them? Eh? He was taking them into the land of promise. He took them out of Egypt into Canaan. It was not God's intention for them to die in the wilderness. The wilderness was meant to be a passage, not a burial ground for them. Are you understanding? And why did God want them to pass through the wilderness for a short while? It's so that they could be trained to possess their inheritance. God was not letting them go through the wilderness so that they can perish there. That's not the purpose. God was not passing them through the wilderness because he just wanted them to suffer there. That's not the purpose. Actually, God was making them to pass through the wilderness in order to train them for their inheritance. He said, God suffered you hunger that you may know that a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that passes out of the mouth of God. This morning, none of you will die in the wilderness side. Your discipleship, are you hearing me, was meant to launch you into an inheritance. It was to take you into something that heaven had put your name in the register for. So when we're about to cross, I began to ask God, as far as I'm concerned, we are not just transiting from one calendar year to another calendar. We are transiting into a divine purpose. And I pray, I say, Lord, carry them. I say, Father, use your hand to move them out of whatever predicament, whatever hindrance, whatever weakness, whatever stagnation. Move them into this thing that you are talking about. Please hear me. There are some that were not circumcised while they were in the wilderness, but God still carried them. It was when they got on the other side, God said, yes, I have delivered you from that terrible wilderness, but you will be circumcised now. Do you know my joy? They were being circumcised where? In the promised land. And I have an understanding this morning that yes, even what has not happened to you before, God will accelerate it now so that you can last in your inheritance. So you are going to stand up with me for the first time to pray. And you are going to be praying for no one else first, but for yourself. Say, Father, I did not think you have appeared to me for me to die or perish in the wilderness of struggling. I believe, Lord, that you have appeared to me because there is a space for me in your inheritance. I'm supposed to be part of what you want to do in my generation. Father, I put my hand in your hand. Take me there. Did you understand that prayer now? Lord, launch me there. If you ask me to trek, I may not be able to arrive. Carry me, O God, by your mighty hand and launch me into the purpose for which you have proposed for my life to accomplish in my generation. Will you lift up your voice now and ask God for that? We are praying. We are praying. This is not the time to sit down. This is the time to stand up. This is the time to walk up and down before God and say, Father, not on the wilderness side will I end. Not on the struggling side will I end. Not ever learning without coming to the measure of truth. Not ever going up and down and not arriving at your divine purpose for me. Lord, I put my hand in your hand. Carry me there. Carry me into what you are talking about. Please pray, open your mouth and say, God, you that take a man from nothing, you, O God, that take ordinary worm and you make them threshing instruments, you that take a man from the merry clay and you put him on the palace, carry me there. Carry me, O Lord, there.
Shakoroboskomboroboshiri, Nasakatao Yakaba Konto Roboskuri, Rima Sankatao Yama Mama 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 Nako Robos Kambaraka Shakara,
Nesakama kondo robos kamba ruba saila. Nasamaya. Whatever it is that you used to know many years ago that kept you always going round and round, let the hand of God uproot you from that and launch you into your inheritance in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, please. Go ahead. Go ahead. The things that has remained as ordinary promises, the things that look like mere prophecies, and you are saying, when will I get there? When will that happen to me? This year must be the beginning of entering into the promises for your lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, carry me there. Launch me into it. By your mighty hand, by your mighty power, launch me into it in the name of Jesus. Sima rama shanta bakonto roboskuri. Rema saila mashakaba. Nasaka mama kanto roboskahi. Rima sahi. Rama kanta ya bakonto roboskamba rabashiri. Rema saila mashanda ya mama. Nakerebo sanka rabashiba. Lord, masanka ya baba kanto roboskai. Rima sali nakanto korobo samba yaba kaura masai. Lord, you take a man from nothing. You've taken a David from following the sheepfold. He never knew how you would carry him, but your mighty hand uprooted him from following the sheep, and you brought him to the limelight. Suddenly, Goliath became a mere prey in his hand. Suddenly, he found himself in the palace. Suddenly, he found himself anointed as the king of Israel. Suddenly, Lord, carry me by your hand. Carry me by your mighty hand. Sorobo shanka baba. Nakorobo skamba raba shiba. Zimba ruba saila mashankaba. Naka tauya kababa baba kuntu roboskeba. Zemba raba shiria. Raka tauya kababa baba samba rama shiria. Rema saila. Yeke te yerebu samba robo shiria. Rama mama. Nasanka tauya baba kuntu roboskuri. Rema saila. Rema masamba yanka to roboskuba. Nako robo shente yerebu sai. Nako kosombo kotoro boskai. Nako koriolo bosamba yama. Lord. You are praying for yourself. You are saying, Lord, carry me. The things that you have said concerning me, I'm not going to doubt the wilderness of it. Take me there, Lord. Move me into it, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Masaka tauya mama. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Amen. While you are still praying, For the children of Israel, unbelief strangulated them. Unbelief made them grasshoppers when they should have been giants. And sometimes you may think unbelief is humility. Some of you may think hollowness is holiness. Some of you may think that smallness is a sign of humility. No. Some of you, fear has cut you short and you could not step into what God is talking to you about. This morning, we are breaking all of those limits. All the boundaries you set for your life. All the time you say, I cannot do this, I'm not able to do that, I am too weak for that. Can I ask you to withdraw all such words from your mouth now and say, Father, break my limits. Break the boundaries I've set for myself. I am going forward. I'm getting to my inheritance by your Spirit. What you raised me to contribute to the kingdom of God in my generation, I will do it. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead, my dear sister. This prayer is crucial to me. You cannot be a struggling man till you die. The glory that God is talking about will manifest in your life also. The things that God is speaking concerning us, we shall see you walk into it in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, please. Go ahead, please. Go ahead. Today is a day that God is breaking your boundaries. Every stagnation must be cut off in the name of Jesus. This decade is a decade of greater things. It's a decade of greater glory. Greater than what you have ever known. Greater than where you have ever been. Lord, take me further. Take me higher. Plant my feet on higher ground. Shika Baba. Lord Jesus, do this as a miracle. I said, Lord, even those that were not circumcised, you carry them. And it was in the promised land that they were being circumcised. Lord, I ask that you do a miracle for us here tonight. Give us a miracle, a miracle. A miracle of translation. Translate these brothers, translate these sisters, break their boundaries. Boundaries of unbelief, boundaries of fear, boundaries of stagnation, boundaries of impossibility. Say, I cannot. Today, Lord, we take away such words. We declare we can do all things through Jesus, who actually strengthens us. Sheka baba baba baba. Nasiara mashanda ba kunto roboskuri. Masokoto robosh. Masiara mashanka baba baba. Naseke nakoroboskamba rabashiri. Dosemba kunto zembo robosh. Dezamba kanto kusomba ramashiba. Nakoriala kaba kaura mama mama. Nasamba nakunto roboskimba ramashiba. Nesanka ya baba baba na korimo saka yaka toko sembo robo shenta mama na korimo simba nesanka ta yekorimo samba rabashiria rakoto robo skamba ramashai. Every boundary, every narrowness, every narrowness, every narrowness, Lord, break it this morning. Break it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name, we are prayed. Do you know that when Elijah was asking Elisha, what do you want me to give you? And the man said, give me the double portion of your spirit. Elijah told him something that is critical. He said, only if you can see. When Lot was struggling with Abraham over a small portion of land, the only thing God did for Abraham was that he took him out. He said, lift up your eyes. Whatever you can see is the dimension of your inheritance. One of the things that has hindered many people is lack of vision. They have no perspective for the future. They are not seeing what God can do with their lives. Are you understanding? They are not seeing, they do understand that God is able, having mentioned your name, having put you in the register of those he wants to use, is able to cause a double-leaved gate to open before you. So you are going to go ahead and join me and say, Father, take away short-sightedness from my life. Give me a vision, a long-range vision of what you can do with me. Are you doing a business? If you have no vision that is long, long, long span, you are likely to do something small. And whatever you can eat, you will settle with it. Are you seeking God to use you to affect the people of God? But as long as your eyes is small, you will always celebrate that your small congregation. This morning, I want you to say, Father, anoint my eyes with eye salves. Cause me to see. Give me perspective. Enlarge my vision. Can I hear you pray that? Can I just say, Lord, take away short-sightedness from me. Take away from me this myopic nature of mine that only sees only around my nose. Cause my eyes to open. Cause my eyes to see what you are setting for me. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Plead with God for that. It's a prayer I want you to pray from the depth of your heart this morning. If a man cannot be free from this myopia, he only sees small. That king only shot 3 times and he stopped because he could not see. I want God to give you eyes that can see. I want God to take away narrowness from your understanding. I want God to expand you this morning. Lord, expand us. Expand this brother. Expand this sister. Enlarge their capacity. Mashakataya baba kunto roboskiba. Zemba rama shanda ba kunto roboskiba. Rima ramba taya kababa baba kunto roboshe. Nesekete bos. Makatoko sombo roboshe. Makari lo masanka taya mama. Elisha pray for his boy. Say, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. Lord, I pray this morning, open our eyes. Open the eyes of my brothers. Open the eyes of these sisters. Open the eyes of these children of yours today. Open our eyes that we might see. Give us a different perspective. Give us an unquenchable vision for the days ahead. In the name of Jesus. Masamba. Nakatoko robo samba yakato robo skila. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you this morning. Thank you this morning, Lord. Thank you for where you are going. Thank you for what I see you beginning to do. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, you opened the eyes of Abraham Esau. And that was the dimension of his life. From this morning, Father, heal us of myopia, short-sightedness, narrowness, that celebrate little things, that dance around littleness. This morning, Father, heal your people, heal my brothers of that. Release them, release them. Release them from the limit they have set for themselves. Release them today. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. You are now going to ask God. You are still praying for yourself. Unless God heal your eyes, you will always withhold yourself from holy use. Unless God enlarges your heart, you only shoot once, twice, thrice, and you will sit down. Fire never says it is enough. But I hear Elijah saying, it is enough. I cannot do more than my father's. This morning, you are still saying, oh God, my life must not be a limit to what you can do. My heart must not be a limit to where you can go with me. My present circumstance must not be a limit to what you are saying you want to do through me. Are you hearing me? You are going to say to God this morning, since it is not by my power, it's not by my resources, it is by you. Let it be unto me in the dimension in which you are speaking. Let it not be narrow because of my narrowness. Do you want to ask God for that? Lord, the things that you have ordained that I'm the one to carry out for you in my generation, activate it from today. Set me on course for it. Enlarge my heart for your purpose for my life. Can I hear you lift up your voice and talk to God about that? You are saying, Father, break my boundaries. It must not be money that will stop you. It must not be resources that will stop you. It must not be connection that will stop you. If God has not stopped, who can stop you? Plead with God this morning and say, Father, the purpose that you propose for me to carry out in your kingdom, in my generation, I will not come short of it. Make that declaration before we move on now. Hey, is somebody tired? Stand up and ask God and say, Father, I can't be cut short now. The things you want to do through me, my generation, all of it must come. All of it must come. All of it must be established. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, as I stand before you again this morning, I can't see any limit to what you say you want to do with us. Everything that we have done to limit you, we withdraw it. Every boundary we erected, we have taken it down. Have your way, O God, and do all you say you will do. Accomplish what you say you will accomplish in this day of your power, even through our lives. In the name of Jesus. Shakamba Robosuri. Thank you, Father. Shantorobo Sentayaba Kauramashi. Inda Karakaba Kundorobo Shiva. Messia Ramashanka Baba 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 Baba. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you will now make one declaration. Behold me, your handmaid. I am in your hand, O God. Be it unto me according to your word concerning me. Can I hear you declare that to God? Everything God said about your life, all that God had ordained that you are the one to carry out, ask God now, say, let it be unto me according to thy word. As you have spoken it, so let it be concerning me. As you have declared it, let it be concerning me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shakaburu Buskuri. Sambaraba Shanka Turubuskuri. Sintakaraba Sanko Turubushiri. Sakaro Bushenka Mama Mama Makun Turubushiri. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. We send you forth to go and stand for the truth. Go and bring the glory of God to bear upon every nook and cranny of the land in the name of Jesus. Your capacity has been enlarged. You will never be narrow again. We speak unto your life that the Lord Almighty will increase you. And you bring increase to his kingdom in the name of Jesus. From this night, as you break forth into the year, you break forth on the left, you break forth on the right. You break forth up and down. The Lord's blessing will surround you. His mighty hand will uphold you. His divine purpose will prosper in your hand in the name of Jesus. Everything that concerns you, the Lord will make perfect. The Lord will promote you. He will place you in pedestals that will prove that God has loved you. In the name of Jesus. Even the gospel will prosper in your life. That in this land, righteousness will prevail. As we have demanded that the fear of God will become our character, let it be so in the name of Jesus. We trust you, Lord, that as we gather for the visions retreat, oh God, you will now be giving us clear direction how to move from here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. It remains one matter. This is the first day of the year. And as we have been praying, the Holy Spirit may be saying, "But your name has not been registered. You have not made a personal commitment to the Him who is able to help you and sustain you." And I must give you that chance this morning. You won't step back to be in between opinion again. You are going to walk into the victory that Jesus had made available. The glorious power of God shall become your own. Are you standing in this place you have backslidden before? Or actually, you've been procrastinating when you will finally surrender to the Savior? Today is that day that God has ordained for you to so do. As I need to now finally pray, and you feel that, "Look, I must make my life right today," can you raise your right hand wherever you are and say, "Lord, this day must not pass me by. I cannot move into the year undecided, unsure of what God wants to do with my life. I cannot travel without your hand on my life." Where are you? Just raise it above your head, your right hand. If nothing's wrong with your right hand, that's what I want you to raise, and let it be above your head. Thank you, so that we can call on God for you. Thank you, my brothers and that sister. Please lift it up above your head. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please raise it on and on. Thank you, my brothers. Thank you, dear sister. Can you please walk forward to me here, and I will join hands with you to say, "Lord, this is a new year. It must be a new day for them. Please come. Just walk down here. It must be a new beginning. A walk with the Savior. No more up and down." Thank you, my brother. That sister, please come quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Please come down. Yes, thank you, my friend. And keep waving that hand until you have arrived here. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. If you are coming, you must move fast. Thank you. 2020, God will render double to your life. You are not going to be a victim. You are going to be victorious. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, sister. Please walk down. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Please come over. Please come over. Thank you, sister. Brother, thank you. There's still some persons that the Holy Spirit is saying, today I have set it apart to settle your case. Thank you, my friend. Sister, are you coming? Just move very fast. Thank you. Thank you. That this day, the January 1st, 2020, the beginning of a new decade, you can't go back struggling. You can't be in and out. Thank you, my dear sister. You can't be lukewarm. The Holy Spirit is doing a new thing. Thank you. Thank you. There's still someone that needed to make that decision now before I finally pray for this. Please lift up the hands. Lift it up. Lift it up. Thank you. God bless you. If you are coming, you would have to run now because we can't stop again. We just have to pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your mercy that continues to be made manifest. Thank you that your eyes have been running to and fro throughout this meeting, listening and hearing the cry of our hearts. Thank you for our friends that are saying 2020 must mark a new beginning. It's a new decade. They cannot carry over the troubles of last year's. And they are saying, take my life this morning. Lord Jesus, please step into their lives. Lord Jesus, give them a new heart. You say, I will put in you a new spirit. Create in them a new heart, O God. That this meeting, this day, will make a difference for them. And that from this day, you will put your mark on their lives. You said, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Lord, I ask that every iniquity that has separated them, uproot it in the name of Jesus. Every power that has hindered them from running well, break it in the name of Jesus Christ. Could there be a covenant that was subsisting over their heads? By the authority of your word, we break and nullify it in the name of Jesus Christ. As they have lifted up their hand, please, Lord, put your hand in that hand. You are the Lord who said, I will uphold his right hand. Uphold their right hand from tonight. And let them know the strength of the God of Israel that never fails. Cause them to know your provision. That will make them live well and live victoriously. I ask, Lord, that your spirit will make your permanent abode in their hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Now the blood of Jesus that you shed at Calvary for cleansing, we sprinkle the blood upon each of their lives now. Cleanse them completely. Cleanse them totally. Every stain of sin, every addiction, let it dissolve in the name of Jesus. And everything that will be a blockage for their growth, we take it out of their path. And we ask that from tonight, they will have a smooth sail with you. Yes, people may not understand, there may be persecution for them, but Lord, in it, cause them to be victorious. Let the joy of salvation flood their hearts from this hour. Do it for us, Lord. And let Jesus be glorified. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.